suspects, waiting, as we all do, for the sword of Damocles to give him the relief that he escaped, lo, those many years ago when cancer took both of his nuts but spared what only the most generous soul would call his life. And you too might be so lucky. Then we introduced ourselves. Name, age, diagnosis, and how we're doing today. I'm Hazel, I'd say when they get to me. 16. Thyroid originally, but with an impressive and long-settled satellite colony in my lungs, and I'm doing okay. Once we got around the circle, Patrick always asked if anyone wanted to share. And then began the circle jerk of support. Everyone talking about fighting and battling and winning and shrinking and scanning. To be fair to Patrick, he let us talk about dying, too. But most of them weren't dying. Most would live into adulthood, as Patrick had. Which meant there was quite a lot of competitiveness about it, with everybody wanting to beat not only cancer itself, but also the other people in the room. Like, I realize that this is irrational, but when they tell you that you have, say, a 20% chance of living 5 years, the math kicks in and you figure that's 1 in 5. So you look around and think, as any healthy person would, I gotta outlast 4 of these bastards. The only redeeming facet of support group was this kid named Isaac. A long-faced, skinny guy with straight blonde hair swept over one eye. And his eyes were the problem. He had some fantastically improbable eye cancer. One eye had been cut out when he was a kid, and now he wore the kind of thick glasses that made his eyes, both the real one and the glass one, preternaturally huge. Like his whole head was basically just this fake eye and this real eye staring at you. From what I could gather on the rare occasions when Isaac shared with the group, a recurrence had placed his remaining eye in mortal peril. Isaac and I communicated almost exclusively through sighs. Each time someone discussed anti-cancer diets or snorting ground-up shark fin or whatever, he'd glance over at me and sigh ever so slightly. I'd shake my head microscopically and exhale in response. So support group blew, and after a few weeks, I grew to be rather kicking and screaming about the whole affair. In fact, on the Wednesday, I made the acquaintance of Augustus Waters. I tried my level best to get out of support group while sitting on the couch with my mom in the third leg of a 12-hour marathon of the previous season's America's Next Top Model, which admittedly I had already seen, but still. Me. I refused to attend support group. Mom. One of the symptoms of depression is disinterest in activities. Me. Please just let me watch America's Next Top Model. It's an activity. Mom, television is a passivity. Me, ugh, Mom, please. Mom, Hazel, you're a teenager. You're not a little kid anymore. You need to make friends, get out of the house, and live your life. Me, if you want me to be a teenager, don't send me to support group. Buy me a fake ID so I can go to clubs, drink vodka, and take pot. Mom, you don't take pot, for starters. Me, see, that's the kind of thing I'd know if you got me a fake ID. Mom, you're going to support group. Me. Mom. Hazel, you deserve a life. That shut me up, although I failed to see how attendance at support group met the definition of life. Still, I agreed to go. After negotiating the right to record the 1.5 episodes of ANTM I'd be missing. I went to support group for the same reason that I'd once allowed nurses with a mere 18 months of graduate education to poison me with exotically named chemicals. I wanted to make my parents happy. There is only one thing in this world shittier than biting it from cancer when you're 16, and that's having a kid who bites it from cancer. Mom pulled into the circular driveway behind the church at 4:56. I pretended to fiddle with my oxygen tank for a second just to kill time. Do you want me to carry it in for you? No, it's fine, I said. The cylindrical green tank only weighed a few pounds, and I had this little steel cart to wheel it around behind me. It delivered 2 liters of oxygen to me each minute through a cannula, a transparent tube that split just beneath my neck, wrapped behind my ears, and then reunited in my nostrils. The contraption was necessary because my lungs sucked at being lungs. I love you, she said as I got out. You too, Mom. See you at 6. Make friends, she said through the rolled-down window as I walked away. I didn't want to take the elevator.